Pawnee. Greetings and peace, and welcome to the Talking Feather. Penny Gamble Williams here.
And Thunder Williams.
Yes, and it's a great day. It's a beautiful day. It's a day to step out on knowing and in a peaceful way.
Yeah, so what are we talking about today, Penny?
We are talking about peace.
Yes, we're going to have a conversation, hopefully with you, about peace. Why do we need to be focused on peace? Well, with all the chaos that we have going on around us, there's a need to look within and look without and figure out how we can get to a state of peace to sort of light the way, because there's a lot of challenges in front of us, but with the way of peace, we can find answers.
That's right, because we are the light of the world, and we have to remember that and understand it and know it.
And we're going to look at some of the iconic torchbearers of our era, Fred Shuttlesworth, Professor Derek Bell, Steve Jobs, all the persons who passed on to the spirit world very recently, and whose we're going to look at some of the wisdom that guided their lives and possibly can help us to improve our own lives.
Yeah, we're going to take this little journey, and we're going to look at different aspects of life and how everything is joined and connected as we talk about peace.
Yes, and you know, we certainly, unless you've been under a rock, you've heard about the protest, Occupy Wall Street, that's going on across this United States of America. And, you know, perhaps there's something we can look back historically to help shine a light on solutions, and that is the great law of peace. And that great law of peace is what really formed the origins of freedom and democracy here in the New World.
Yes,
and
that's
so
right.
Long before King George and the founding fathers of the United States, there was the Iroquois Confederacy and a great law of peace, and we're going to examine that today and hopefully have a great dialogue with you, our listening audience. Thank you for joining us.
That's right. You know, each week here on the Talking Feather, we amplify the voices of indigenous peoples, people all over the world. We move into this global conversation, because we are all connected, and we just can't deny that. We have to really understand how joined we are together on this planet, connected to the universal laws. So with that, I'm going to say a prayer in the Wampanoag language. Kitane Numaka Niwitamoag Aki Numaka Niwitamoag Okamas Nupashat Numakani Witamog. Wuta chi kriasun, nupawas, numakani witamog, tabat nuayan. Numakani witamog, e ut no shikaki. Wampanayo, Sawanayo, Patanayo, Nanamayo. Great Spirit, I offer this tobacco. Aki, Mother Earth, I offer this tobacco. Grandmother Moon, I offer this tobacco. Grandfather Sun, I offer this tobacco. I offer this tobacco to the four directions, to the east, to the south, to the west, to the north. With that, I say Katabatash.
Ho.
Thank you.
Matakrioasin. We honor all our relations because, as you said, Penny, we are truly all related. So, Penny, why don't you get our dialogue started here this morning on this conversations about peace.
We come into this world as spiritual beings in this physical form with the light of the universe within us. And as small children, we find ways to use our imagination to have fun and be creative. And then we find ourselves in different situations where we either have a fear or we find a way to be peaceful. And it's all about understanding and knowing and going into ourselves to feel that energy, that quietness, that spiritual, peaceful way of being. And so today, that's what we are going to talk about. People who have found ways to to do things that bring people together in a peaceful way. A lot of times it was the struggle and it was conflict and chaos that brought them into a peaceful existence. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And as I said, we're going to weave our way through this path of life, highlighting different people who have had strong effects on society, and then to look at how we can get into a peaceful way of being.
Well, you know, I'd like to start our conversation today, Penny, with a quote from Steve Jobs, the iconic founder or guider, leader of Apple, the richest corporation in the world. It surpassed Exxon recently in terms of earnings and whatnot. But Steve Jobs had humble beginnings and was a very spiritual person. That's a part of side of him that many people don't know and didn't ever see. But, you know, there's some thoughts that he shared and left with us, and I'd like to quote one of them. And I quote Steve Jobs as follows. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. And that's the end of the quote from Steve. And I just think, Penny, that, you know, we talk about finding peace within, and what is happening in the outer world is often a reflection of the turmoil that might be happening inside. And I think that turmoil can be caused by us not following our heart and our intuition, because they truly know what we want to become and where we need to go.
And, you know, this is an aside in a sense, but there is a vortex. There is a state of being and knowing, and that is something called a vortex, where you step into another form or mode of being and thinking and seeing life, where you leave all negativity in another space, and you step into this vortex of upliftment and a spiritual, divine connection. So that's really what Steve Jobs was saying, and he had that understanding. And I find that fascinating. We're going to look at the vortex later on. But, you know, here's another quote from Steve Jobs. He said, when I was 17, I read a quote that went something like this. If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you most certainly will be right. It made an impression on me, and since then, for the past 33 years, I have looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were your last day if today were the last day of my life, this is his quote, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whether the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something.
Yes, as he said, whenever the answer has been no too many days in a row. So have you gotten up and looked in the mirror lately and found that your answer is no? I look in the mirror every morning. If today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? That is profound. I mean, when you really think about it, how many of us are trapped in situations or feel trapped in situations where we are just not doing what we feel we came here as spirit beings in this human form to do, or have lost complete touch with our spiritual purpose and our spiritual heart and that vibrational energy and that frequency? How much of us are in sync with our real chakra energy? And it sounds like, oh boy, what is this guy talking about? I've got to go to work. I've got to make a living. But, you know, speaking of going to work, let's do one of the last quotes I'd like to bring out from Steve Jobs. quote, your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. Don't settle. As with all matters of the heart, you'll know when you find it. And like any great relationship, it just gets better and better as the years roll on. So keep looking until you find it. Don't settle.
Don't settle. I knew that when we come back. Welcome back to The Talking Feather. Penny Gamble Williams here.
And Thunder Williams.
Yes, and we are talking about peace, ways of achieving peace, and looking at people who have walked in that space, helping us get to peace, showing us ways that we can shift our paradigm. And it has just really been quite a powerful year in terms of different things that have happened to draw attention to what is going on in this world. And all you have to do, folks, is look around, pick up the newspaper, turn on the TV, or listen to the radio. And everything is about chaos and chaotic situations and tragedies and wars. We wanted to look at how we can get into a different space, highlighting people who have found ways of achieving things and helping other people along the way, whether they made products, created products that we use to help us in our daily lives, or they made a decision to make sacrifices to help other people. There are so many different aspects that we are going to look at. And then we're also going to look at how do we get to peace. As we were talking about Steve Jobs and we looked at, read some of his quotes, I mean, it gets back to a space that Steve Jobs found himself in. And he obviously had taken a lot of time to maybe not analyze, but to take a look at himself. And to go within. And sometimes when you go within, you find things that need to be rearranged and to be checked. And then you step into a vortex, a space that allows you to really get into your authentic self. Who are you and what do you want to be? Who do you want to be? What do you want to accomplish? And within that vortex, there is nothing that you can't do. And that, to me, is very powerful. And it's a practice or a way of life that I have been looking into and have stepped into and am working myself through as I gain a better understanding about what is a vortex. And it is fascinating. So some of the people that we highlighted obviously have stepped into a vortex. And, you know, when you speak about a vortex, it sounds abstract, but in essence it really isn't. It is a light. It is a way of surrounding yourself with a positive connection. And how you get there, of course, is to meditate in that space and have your vision really focused on where you want to be, no matter what it is in life that you would like to accomplish. Being in that vortex allows you, it gives you all of the tools that are necessary to take those steps into a higher consciousness.
And, you know, oftentimes maybe people think of it as, with different analogies, like getting into the zone, like an athlete, like a, or anyone who, you know, it's really the vortex is like getting into your zone, whatever that zone is, to accomplish the purpose and the objective and the goal that is in front of you. So when we look at people who got into the zone, we can turn to the civil rights movement, which has lost two of its tall trees in the forest of tall trees, iconic torchbearers, Fred Shuttlesworth, who died at the age of 89, and Professor Derrick Bell, who died at the age of 80. You know, when we think about the civil rights movement, you've got to remember that Fred Shuttlesworth led the struggle in Birmingham, Alabama, where your relatives are from, Penny. It was, as they say, the last of the civil rights movement's big three, founding the Southern Christian Leadership Conference along with Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and Reverend Ralph David Abernathy. So, Derrick Bell, who also passed away, Professor Derrick Bell sought to expose American racism through his books and articles, and he was the first tenured black professor at Harvard Law School, and he gave up his position in protest of the school's allegedly discriminatory hiring practice for not hiring women. So, I mean, these are people taking principled stands. When we go back and we think about the NAACP and the work that was done back in the day, and we look at the Occupy Wall Street, there are parallels there, you know, in many ways. Back then, the southern states labeled the NAACP as communist, a subversive organization. They banned the NAACP in Alabama. And, you know, Fred Shuttlesworth's not, in spite of all that, organized the Alabama Christian Movement, which was the movement, in fact, that invited Dr. King to Birmingham. And while Dr. King and Dr. Abernathy were operating primarily in Atlanta and Montgomery, Shuttlesworth was the most prominent figure in the movement operating and leading the charge in Birmingham, Alabama. And he suffered a lot. I mean, to the fact where he was bombed. I mean, his house was bombed. That's how close he came to leaving us. And the local sheriff came to Fred Shuttlesworth and told him, said, "Boy, if I were you, I'd get out of town as soon as possible." And Fred Shuttlesworth told him, he said, "If I can survive a bombing, then God has a greater purpose for me to be here. And you tell your Ku Klux Klan boys that I ain't going nowhere." And that's exactly what he did. Now, he stood at the height of the movement, this emotional point of the movement, when the dogs were biting and threatening in Birmingham. Fred Shuttlesworth was the man on the front line with a real warrior, a real street fighter, whose courage was infectious. And he was, in spite of the struggle, a peacemaker, because he was doing all this to find peace and to bring peace and justice to America, and peace and justice to his community and his people. And likewise, Professor Derrick Bell did so much to contribute at the forefront of the race theory. We're still today afraid to have a real conversation about race. It just won't happen. But back in the day, Professor Derrick Bell was teaching students daily in a seminar that was called Civil Rights at the Crossroads. And every Monday, and without pay, they got no credit for attending the class, and the teacher got no salary. He did it nonetheless. And then he finally left Harvard, and because of the alleged discriminatory practices of not hiring women and tenuring them. And also, he went on to the University of Oregon, and he ended up leaving the University of Oregon for the same reason, because they refused to give tenure to an Asian woman law professor. So these are principal stands that people take, and you don't do things like that unless, as you say, Penny, you're in the zone.
And you're grounded.
You're in the vortex. Mm-hmm. You are clear about who you are and why you are here. And then, of course, when we talk about peace, we have to talk about Troy Davis.
Yes, you know, Troy Davis.
Where are we? the society.
Well, you know, as I reflect, I that was a very emotional week.
Troy Davis was executed by the state of
Texas. Know he was murdered. He was murdered. And that whole energy, that whole vibration just changed the hearts and minds of so many people, if you think about what happened that night. And who was Troy Davis? Troy Davis was a man who wanted to see peace, who wanted to bring truth to light.
As they were injecting Troy Davis with the drug that took him to the spirit world, he was in a state of peace, forgiving his executioners and his murderers. He was forgiving the state of Texas, and he was asking people, as a country, stop eye for an eye, stop the killing, stop the murder. And that's what we have to do. And if we're in peace, we can see that light clearly and understand the message of Troy Davis.
Follow the light, follow the heart. Welcome back. This is Penny Gamble Williams.
And Thunder Williams.
And we have a nice, peaceful go-go vibe going on.
Well, you know.
As we go forth in the spirit of peace.
Yes. Rhythm always is good for the soul.
Yes, it is. It is. And that's what we're talking about. Finding ways of getting to peace. And we are talking about people who have found that peaceful way within. They stepped into a vortex of understanding and knowing who they are and getting to their authentic self so they could step out and work with what they have to enlighten us.
Exactly, and leave behind, you know, as ancestors do, leave behind wisdom that we can follow and model our lives after, because it really takes true courage to be able to do the things that these folks have done, and to be a real visionary like a Steve Jobs, or to be a visionary like Fred Shuttlesworth or Professor Derek Bell and other people that we've talked about.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there's a Nobel Peace Prize winner who is now in the spirit world. She was the Kenyan wonderful woman, Wangari Maathai. She founded the Green Belt Movement in Kenya, and that is an environmental movement. It really helped to gather women, gather young people, and to bring attention to the state of the environment. One of the main things that they did was to plant trees, plant thousands and thousands of trees, and encourage other people around the world to plant trees, to give back, since so much has been taken away from Mother Earth.
Well, you know, Penny, I'd like to say, and I know I don't want to get you too excited here or too passionate, but I know your passion or our passion has been that one of the reasons we cannot find peace in the world is because we continue to disrespect Mother Earth. We continue to disrespect our mother and our women.
And that gets us into the feminine energy that is light and brings balance to the masculine energy. And right now, as we look back at all of the events that have taken place over many, 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 many years, it really brings to light that the feminine energy has not been honored and respected.
Well, speaking of honoring that, you know, the Norwegian Nobel Committee has decided recently, this week, that the Nobel Peace Prize for 2011, the Nobel Peace Prize for the year 2011, is to be divided in three equal parts between three very noble and outstanding and courageous women: Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, Layman Gobawi, and Tawakkol Carmen. Their nonviolent struggle for the safety of women and for women's rights to fully participate in the peace building work is being acknowledged and recognized. And, you know, we can't achieve democracy and lasting peace in the world unless women obtain the same opportunities as men to influence development of all levels of society. And Ellen Johnson Sirleaf is Africa's first democratically elected female president. And since the inauguration, her inauguration in 2006, she has contributed to securing peace in Liberia, to promoting economic and social development, and to strengthening the position of women. And Lema Gobawi mobilized and organized women across ethnic and religious dividing lines to bring an end to the long war in Liberia and to ensure women's participation in elections. And she has worked to enhance the influence of women in West Africa during and after their most trying circumstances in the wars and struggles that have torn some of those countries apart. And then, of course, both before and during the Arab Spring. And when we talk about the Arab Spring, we talk about the different revolts and uprisings that have been termed Arab Spring. Tawakkul Karman has played a leading part in the struggle for women's rights and for democracy in Yemen. And so to these three women who have struggled tirelessly to bring an end to the oppression of women that still occurs in many countries, so that we can all realize the great potential for the democracy and peace that women represent, we have to stop our destruction and things that we are doing against the Mother Earth and against our women, because women are essential to the peace process. And as you said, Penny, that feminine energy, it's a balance in all of us between the male energy and the feminine energy. And if we are out of balance, we cannot achieve peace in the world and we cannot have inner peace.
Well, you said it all. I mean, and when we talk about peace and we talk about laws, there is the great law of peace. And that was a creation from the Haudenosaunee people, also known as the Iroquois. The five nations, which later became six nations in what is now the state of New York. That, of course, paved the way for the United States Constitution. And I know, Thunder, you have some information about that.
America, when you look at America, folks, I mean, America is, however you perceive it, a young country. I mean, it's been called by some this brilliant jewel of human liberty and reason that was fashioned by the founding fathers of the American Revolution to give a structure to their new American government. But one of the things that's been lost in history, and maybe intentionally so, is a vital perspective is missing, and that is the true historical origins of this freedom and democracy in the New World, and indeed the modern civilization itself, have been forgotten in the pages of time and history. And long before, you know, they wrote the American Constitution, and long before the days of King George and the founding fathers of the United States, there was something happening right here on Turtle Island. And so we need to turn back those pages and look back at the great law of peace. When we look at that, the arts of peace had taken root on Turtle Island many hundreds of years before pirate Columbus discovered us here in the Americas.
Discovered is in quotes.
So when we talk about this, you know, this government of America, this was a bold experiment from the inception. You know, this bold experiment that was based on, at the time, what were considered radical ideas in European political philosophies. And these ideas were given practical expression in the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. And for Europeans, these historic documents represented a great leap forward towards realizing the ideal of liberty and justice for all. And, of course, to the poor in Europe, I mean, there was abject poverty going on in Europe, and who were often starving and indentured refugees of a European, very brutal European feudal society. This unexplored North American continent was their faraway hope an escape from the numbness of poverty and suffering and misery. What we're saying here, folks, is the New World, the America's Turtle Island, as indigenous people know it, was more than a symbol. It was, in truth and fact, the birthplace and homeland of liberty and democracy, because, as we said, the Iroquois Great Law of Peace was already well in existence and underway here for a long time before Europeans arrived. And that's not to say that there wasn't warring and issues. There were not warring and issues going on here, but a confederacy arose, Penny, among the separate and warring communities as a way to create harmony, unity, and respect among human beings. And we really need to look at the principles of the Great Law of Peace on which our country was founded in order to find a way forward.
That's right. And, you know, the central idea underlying Iroquois political philosophy is that peace is the will of the Creator and the ultimate spiritual goal and natural order among all human beings. And that, to me, is really, really powerful. And I don't know, have we lost that essence? Is anybody really paying attention to that way of being?
Yes, well, we're going to continue our discussion.
Welcome back. Penny Gamble-Williams here.
And Thunder Williams.
And we are talking about ways of achieving peace on this planet, on this earth, in this universe. And when we went on our pause, we were looking at the Great Law of Peace. That is the way of the Haudenosaunee people, the Iroquois Confederacy, in the upstate New York.
Yes, and I think it's relevant. You're talking about New York. Occupy Wall Street is happening in New York, and Wall Street is the symbol of corporate greed. I want to say some other things, but I'm going to hold my tongue. When we look for a way forward, is as we change and tear down what we don't like, what will we use as building blocks for that which will replace it? And that's why I think there is relevance, great relevance, to the Great Law of Peace. Penny?
You know, the principles of the Iroquois government embodied in the Great Law of Peace were transmitted by a historical figure called the Peacemaker. His teachings emphasize the power of reason to assure righteousness, justice, and health among humans. And peace came to the Iroquois not through war and conquest, but through the exercise of reason, guided by the spiritual mind. And the Iroquois League is based not on force of arms or rule of law, but spiritual concepts of natural law applied to human society.
And you know, Penny, I know that it would be great to share with our listening audience some quotes from our friend, the Mohawk chief, Jake Swamp. He went to Philadelphia in 1986 to plant the Tree of Peace in Philadelphia. And there's also a Tree of Peace right here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. And at the Native American Museum, the National Museum of the American Indian, there's a carving, not a carving, but a statue there that reflects the principles of the Great Law of Peace. But anyhow, in 1986, Mohawk Chief Jake Swamp explained, quote, "In the beginning, when our Creator made humans, everything needed to survive was provided. Our Creator asked only one thing: never forget to appreciate the gifts of Mother Earth. Our people were instructed how to be grateful and how to survive. But during a dark age in our history, 1,000 years ago, humans no longer listened to the original instructions. Our Creator became sad, and because there was so much crime, dishonesty, injustice and war. Our Creator became sad. So Creator sent a peacemaker with a message to be righteous and just and to make a good future for our children seven generations to come. He called all warring parties and people together and told them that as long as there was killing, there would be no peace of mind. There must be a concerted effort by humans for peace to prevail. Through logic and reasoning and spiritual means, he inspired the warriors to bury their weapons and plant those weapons atop a sacred tree of peace.
You know, Thunder, what this reminds me of, we are in the middle of, what, three wars right now. And when you think about it, as long as there's going to be turmoil, bombs dropping, guns being shot, people being killed, that energy, it permeates and it goes all around the world. We all feel it. We may not understand what that energy is, but we're feeling it. And until we understand how connected, it's very simple. Sometimes we say we are all related, mitakuyas, and we are, folks. It's just something that I believe we're so diffused. There's so many things that keep us separate and apart and keep us from that way of thinking and being that we forget. And really, we know it instinctively, except distracted.
Yeah, we are distracted. And when we talk about this peacemaker, you know, the peacemaker legend is a central tale for Iroquois history. And it really constitutes an Iroquois Bible, a Declaration of Independence and Constitution. And when we talk about that spirit of democracy, the peacemaker gave the Tree of Peace as a symbol of the great law of peace. And the great white pine tree, whose branches spread out to shelter all nations who commit themselves to peace, is what that symbol is all about. And beneath the tree, the five nations buried their weapons of war. Atop the tree is the eagle that sees far, and four long roots stretch out in the four sacred directions, the white roots of peace. And by the time the Declaration of Independence was signed, the Iroquois had practiced their own egalitarian government for hundreds of years, and there was a sophisticated political system founded on reason, not mere power. The Founding Fathers found their best working model for their new government not in the writings of Europeans. Listen to me now, not in the writings of Europeans or not in Greek democracy, as we've been told, but through their direct contact with the Iroquois League. And the Great Law of Peace that we're talking about provided both a model and incentive to transform 13 separate colonies into the United States of America. And this was acknowledged by George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and other people. So we need to roll back those pages of history, Penny, and see that we have a precedent for the way forward.
However, one of the things that the Founding Fathers failed to recognize was the power of women. And within the Great Law of Peace of the Haudenosaunee people, the women were the decision makers. They were very important and pivotal to what happened on a day-to-day basis. These were the clan mothers. These were the mothers and the women and the grandmothers who made observations. And when a council meeting was called, the women got to speak, and they were listened to and followed the advice many times of the women.
Mm-hmm.
The women would not make moccasins if it meant that their men wanted to go to war, because the women were the moccasin makers. So if the women didn't make the moccasins, then there would be no war. And these are things that we must take notice of and look at and model after in a real way.
And it seems like instead of modeling after the Great Law of Peace, we're going backwards. We are digressing.
It doesn't make any sense.
We're going back to the old European feudal society where vast people, 99% of the people, lived on outside the castle, and the 1%, the elite, hoarded all the wealth.
Now, Occupy Wall Street
is all about
the 99%
who have awakened.
That's
and I'm
right.
saying to us, the 99% who have awakened from a long slumber, there is a light and a path forward. When we look at the wisdom of these iconic leaders that we talked about today, who stand for peace, who struggled for peace their lifelong, we can take courage and example from that to move forward and not be wallowing in apathy or discouraged by the fact that there is a struggle going on, and there will always be a struggle in a manner of speaking, but we don't have to struggle in anger or hate. We need to remain in peace so we can
be
clear about the way forward.
And that's allowing ourselves to step into a vortex, a new paradigm, you know, a way that we can look at life on a beautiful, have this beautiful vision of peace. You know, if you can envision peace, peace within yourself, you can see peace throughout the world. And if enough people stepped into that vortex, shifted that paradigm, and I believe that's what's happening now. It's going to take a lot of people shifting. However, we are going to shift.
We are going to shift, and hopefully we will shift and look at our things that we have to assist us and facilitate that. Rebuild. What do you want the new society to look like, to feel like, to be? And I think when we go back to what our founding fathers saw, maybe we can see that and re-envision it and reignite
allow it.
And allow it to happen.
Yes. We want to thank our board op, Aaron, for keeping us on point. Thank you, my sister. And, you know, remember, walk in balance on Mother Earth. Until we meet again, Wanish.
Peace.